When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back here on Cody and Gold, and we are back live at Jefferson's in Lenexa. They just opened the doors about a couple minutes ago, and this is the spot to watch Royals baseball throughout the postseason. We're going to be here today, tomorrow, and as long as it takes for the Royals to keep this hopefully long playoff month of October
ideally
going, man. That's the goal. We're going to be here broadcasting till 2. Then everybody for the station is going to be here as well. Vern's On Deck show starts at 2. Royals baseball first pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan at 3:08. They've got the dollar rally shots. We might have to do one of those if the Royals get up early in the first.
Wait. You're saying we're doing rally shots today?
They don't have to. I hope they don't even need a rally. I hope they just jump on board right away. But you know what? For every run scored, is that what you agree? I heard you say that. You said for every run scored that is comes from the bat of Vinny Pasquantino, you'll do a shot. I think that's what I heard.
Sure.
$3 Royal Blue refreshers, $12 Miller and Coors buckets, plus, of course, some of the best wings around.
And you said you'd buy a round for the house if Vinny hits a homer? Or, or is that on the table?
I don't recall saying that.
Just one Vinny Pasquantino home run. Bet enough so that you cover
it. Yeah, it'll cover the tab.
Bet like $50 on it. That way it covers whatever you're offering.
That's right.
How about a round of rally shots? They're cheap enough, right?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping there's a ton of people where that could get a little pricey even in its own right as well. But we'll figure something out, man. We'll figure something out. It's going to be a great day, a great couple days here at Jefferson's in Lenexa. Coming up in about 6 minutes, we're going to be joined by Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster. He is in Baltimore, the old Charm City, Cody. We're going to ask him how things are going out there.
It's not great for you the last time you were there.
No,
make sure
it wasn't.
No asses are shown to Jake.
Yeah.
It was great the last time the Kansas City was there.
It was great. Yes, it was definitely the case. But for me, although, you know, the experience at the Ravens game after wasn't great, but walking by Camden Yards, and it's so cool how they have the – you've been there,
yeah.
I think, the plates Service. Of the home runs that symbolize – you look for all the Royals ones. A lot of Alex Gordon ones out there, by the way. But, yeah, it's a really cool park. It is. But we'll set the scene a little bit with Jake Eisenberg, ask him about this matchup, and have some fun in just a little bit. Real quick, I did want to talk about what has now become more of a – complicated, complex injury situation. Unknown.
Do they have a normal injury, the Chiefs?
With Rashee Rice. It does feel, doesn't it, Cody, that every injury, and I understand everybody's body is different, so everybody will heal differently and all that. But Rashee Rice, in that game on Sunday and leaving that game on Sunday, based off of reports nationally, the thought was like a torn ACL, suffered a serious ACL injury, out for the season. Then Andy yesterday, his press conference right here on 96.5, he was like, hey, we're trying to figure things out still. We don't have all the test results. Okay. Thought we would learn later on in the afternoon from even some national reporters. Last night, Adam Schefter tweeted, quote, after further testing on Rashee Rice's knee today, there remains uncertainty over the extent of his injury, per sources. After consulting with team doctors and receiving second opinions, more tests are required to determine the full extent of Rice's injury and his recovery timeline. No answers are expected until next week. Now, a second opinion is not a crazy thing. That happens.
Or sometimes swelling happens where they can't get, like, a good image on it.
Yeah, like a second opinion happens all the time. And, yeah, maybe they're swelling. They can't see it. It's just bizarre. Some people are taking it as good news that they can't tell it's, you know, already it's a torn ACL.
I'm taking it as nothing news for now.
Yeah, I mean, it could be still a torn ACL and he has structural damage and the whole knee is an issue. I don't know. We're speculating. But it is bizarre that, like, we're not going to even know till next week what the injury fully is.
I got to be honest, I don't remember ever seeing a knee injury that wasn't relatively decided, like, by the next day, two days. Like, this is, again, in a long list of weird injuries the Chiefs have sustained as a franchise. Look at this year. First, we're already told that the sternoclavicular injury is incredibly rare in its own side. Somehow the Chiefs have two, and this time it's not the same as the first time. Got to be a little bit different, or when Eric Berry didn't feel coming back from his injury in his soul, or a million other things that have occurred in this franchise's history. I don't want to take it as anything positive until there's news to be positive. I am going to operate as if Rashee Rice is not available to this team in 2024, same, unless otherwise told. And look, maybe we'll get good news. Hell, I thought Vinny was going to be out until at least the ALCS, and now all of a sudden he's back.
I know. So I'll keep saying, though, a broken thumb versus the clavicle, or in this case the knee. I mean, for obvious reasons, it's a little more complex. Without even being a doctor, we all know that. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I'll be honest. Like, in a weird way, it makes me – I know some people are taking it – it makes me feel worse. I don't know.
Why?
Because I'm worried that it's not just –
suspension possible next year anyway. He's got all the time in the world to heal.
Yeah, but it makes me worried that it's not just a tear, but, like, if there's structural damage and what does that mean for
his
coming
career
back? Yeah, like, that's what I'm, I guess, a little more worried about. But we don't know. And it sounds like, based on Schefter's reporting, we're not going to know this week. It's going to be next week, so Monday or something.
I wonder if that's because they're putting that out there as an effort to try not to get real questions about it, because the question I would ask Andy tomorrow when he speaks to the media is, how do you not know? What are you looking for again? I understand you're not going to have the answer for next week, but what are the questions? Is there a possibility this injury isn't as serious as you thought? Is there a possibility it's more serious than you thought? Which version of this injury is possible? And it feels like sometimes when those things come out, it's an effort to, like, pre-deflect the question, to be like, well, we won't know anything until next week, so I'll talk to you then.
We'll let you know if any update comes on that front. One thing we can't update you on is at 11:50, we're expected to hear from Vinny Pasquantino. He'll talk to the media. We all know he is back. He is in the lineup. He's DHing. He's batting third. And let's go right out to Baltimore right now and talk with Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster. You hear him throughout the season right here on 96.5 The Fan. Jake, it's great to have you on, man. I know Baltimore, 3:08 Central Time, 4:08 Eastern Time, is going to be unbelievable. I'm sure the atmosphere there when this thing gets going for first pitch. But what's the scene like, man? What's the scene in Baltimore? I guess I'll ask, have you seen any Royals fans walking around?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of buzz. I mean, right now I'm sitting at the ballpark, so there aren't many fans walking around quite yet. But they just pulled the tarp from the field, so they're kind of getting that ready. It is a little bit damp and drizzly here this morning, but that rain's supposed to peter off, and I don't think it'll be too much of an issue. I'm looking down on the field right now, and I think I see Michael Massey just kind of taking in the scene a little bit, and we just found out that he's the Royals' leadoff hitter today. So that's the first guy in the batter's box to start off this postseason. So he's just kind of taking in the scenery in the field as well, and the ground's crew's hard to work. Looks like some Orioles players are starting to mill around a little bit in the bullpen. But you can start to feel the buzz and the excitement building the way it should.
Is the wind blowing out to right? Because I'm looking to take maybe a bet on Vinny to hit a homer or Massey to hit a homer. You know, can you let me know? Where's the wind going?
Yeah, right now there is no wind. Right now it is kind of still. So I think if that holds too, I think that it should be okay. And I don't know. If you're standing on Utah Street, look out.
Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster, joining us. We were looking at the lineup, and that's what's fun about the postseason. Like, now I actually – usually I don't pay too much attention to the lineup, but postseason, everybody looks into it and all that. You mentioned Massey leading off. Just having Pasquantino's name on that lineup card, not only does it feel good to see that, but it – I mean, the whole lineup looks better. It just changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, it lengthens your lineup and it deepens your lineup, and it makes the lineup look a lot like it did, you know, before August 30th, you know, and we saw Royals offense that was – really productive, especially, you know, when the moment counted with runners in scoring position. That's one of the biggest things that Vinny Pasquantino brings to the table. Seth Lugo was just talking in his press conference about Vinny's approach and, you know, how cerebral it is and how that kind of, you know, rubs off on everybody else. But we're talking about a guy who had 97 RBIs, which was fourth most in baseball when he got hurt. We're talking about a guy who hit 360 with runners in scoring position, which still is third best in all of baseball behind Bobby Witt Jr. and Luis Arraez, and now you're plugging that back into the middle of your lineup. And we're going to hear from Vinny in about 40 minutes or so, and I think it's important to put the caveat there that this is his first game since August 29th, and he is exactly 4 weeks removed from surgery on this broken right thumb. We're not really sure what it's going to look like, but there's every indication that he's healthy and that the ability that he has to play is good enough that he is going to play, obviously, and he is activated, but what that actually looks like, that's still a little bit to be determined, and that's okay. I just don't know that we want to look at this and say, oh, Vinny's back in the lineup, everything's going to be amazing. There is still a little bit of what if that's out there, and that's okay too. But as far as the rest of the lineup goes, you know, Michael Massey in the leadoff spot, I think that's in part because you have Vinny Pasquantino as a lefty now batting third. I think had that not been the case, then Michael Massey's probably hitting third, you know, like he did the other day, and you probably have Tommy Pham back in the leadoff spot. It allows Matt Quatrero and his staff to do a little bit different things and things that they probably were hoping that they could do over the last month, but obviously couldn't with Vinny out.
What would you do? Where do you think the advantages are for the Royals? I think the thing I've said on the show today is that I think it's under kind of sold that the pitching lines up well. The Royals are better with left-handed pitching out of the bullpen and in the starting rotation, and that's where, you know, the Baltimore Orioles are better in left-handed hitting, so that plays for the Royal strength, and vice versa in the pitching department, where it's mostly a righty-heavy good pitching staff for the Orioles, and the Royals have a lot of lefties. Where do you think the advantages are for the Royals in this series?
Yeah, on paper, I think the clear advantage is starting pitching. You know, the Royals have Cole Reagans today, Seth Lugo tomorrow, if necessary, Michael Wacha on Thursday. The Orioles have Corbin Burnes today, who, by the way, one of the best pitchers in the American League this year. After that, Brandon Hyde has not announced a starter for Game 2 or Game 3. We know it won't be Albert Suarez because he started on Sunday, which kind of leaves most logically Zach Eflin for tomorrow, and he's been a good trade deadline pickup for them. And then it seems likely that it would be Dean Kramer, if necessary, for Game 3. And this is nothing against Zach Eflin or Dean Kramer, who have had terrific starts and excellent careers, and Kramer's been on the mound for the Orioles in some of their biggest games over the last couple of years. But if you're asking which three would you rather have, I think 10 out of 10 people would probably say, yeah, I'll take Reagans, Lugo, and Wacha. So yeah. I think the starting rotation, again, on paper, I think that's where the Royals have a significant advantage. I think that both offenses have kind of struggled over the last month. We'll see what Vinny being back does to help the Royals offense. The Orioles have kind of broken out of their funk a little bit now that Westberg has returned from the injured list. So they just got back one of their big bats from the injured list as well. That was last Sunday. And then you look at the bullpens, and the Royals' bullpen has been shaky all season long, but this last month, it's been the best in baseball, among the best in baseball. The Orioles' bullpen over the last month has been the second worst in baseball. Now, do you throw all that out the window because now you turn the page to the postseason? Maybe. I don't really know. But on paper, you have a Royals' bullpen that has some momentum, an Orioles' bullpen that has some question marks, a Royals' rotation that has been solid all year long, an Orioles' rotation that has some question marks, and a couple of offenses that right now both have some really, really good hitters, but also a couple of question marks. It's a good series.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned, hey, postseason, maybe you throw things out the window. How much stock do you put in to the earlier season matchups between these teams, though, in particular, where I think, what was it, Baltimore won 4-2 out of the six, is that right?
Yeah, and I mean,
so early,
not a ton because, I mean, that was almost 6 months ago. I mean, these are very different teams and, you know, very different players that have grown throughout the season. I think if there's one thing you take away from those six games, which was very early April and then, you know, a little bit in late April, is that for the most part, they were all really, really close games. And especially the three games that were here at Camden Yards, you know, two of those three games, the Orioles won on walk-offs coming from behind in the eighth and ninth inning. And this is nothing against the guys that were pitching then, but they're not even on the postseason roster. Nick Anderson isn't even with the Royals organization anymore. He's one of the guys that gave up a walk-off hit in that series. And Will Smith gave up the other walk-off hit. He's currently on the injured list. This is a bullpen that is very completely changed over the course of the last 6 months. And, you know, those are two very late blown lead losses here at Camden Yards that very easily could have been wins had they gone the other way. There were a couple of other very specific things that happened in those games that aren't things that are going to happen in the postseason. And no doubt we'll kind of discuss those things, you know, as this series unfolds. But I think what you take away from that series is that these are two teams that are kind of at similar-ish points. The Orioles are, you know, maybe a step or two ahead in terms of their timeline of contention. Their window opened up a couple of years ago, and they won 100 games last year. But, you know, you've got young superstars with Bobby Witt Jr. and Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Vinny Pasquantino. And then you've got guys that have been there and done that, like Salvador Perez and Anthony Santander. And you've got aces like Cole Reagans and Corbin Burns. And what I took away from that series, and I told the Orioles broadcasters this, I said, hey, I think we're going to see you guys in October, and I think that would be a pretty awesome series. And lo and behold, here we are.
I know there's no such thing as zero pressure for baseball players in the postseason. Everybody's got to internally feel that. But when you look broadly for the reasons you just brought up about the Orioles, and they were in the postseason a year ago, and you know Corbin Burns is probably not back with them next year, it feels like there is more pressure on Baltimore, where the Royals kind of, I think, can establish themselves as the fun underdog story if they're able to get a game here to start the series.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, this is an Orioles team that won over 100 games last year. They won their division, and then they got swept in the American League Division Series and lost both of their home games. The Orioles have not won a postseason game since 2014 when they swept the Tigers in the ALDS, and then the Orioles came to town and they swept the Orioles in the ALCS, and the Orioles have not won a postseason game since. And that's a completely different team. That was a decade ago. But I do think that there is inherently more pressure on the Orioles right now than there is on the Royals, who, you know, yes, the goal was to win the division and make the postseason. But in terms of, you know, outside narrative of which teams are going to be true World Series contenders, when we were talking about this in spring training, a lot of people were picking the Orioles to win it all, and rightfully so. And so I think, yeah, there is a little bit more pressure on that side than on the Royals side. But I think that's also sort of a narrative that we create, you know, from the outside looking in. I think right. If you go into each clubhouse, they're kind of feeling like, yeah, we're going to go out and win a ball game. Like, this is postseason baseball. This is what we're here for. Like, I don't think that plays into the clubhouses at all. I think that's just something fun that we get to talk about.
Jake, you mentioned the massive improvement out of the bullpen earlier this year, or later this year, this final month of the season. Do you think that that changes what would have been the prevailing thought 6 weeks ago, which is, hey, I know in playoff baseball, starters usually go less time, but not with this team. I always just thought, you know, if you got Reagans and Lugo and Waka, you're going to have to go later in a game than you would normally think. Does the way the bullpen's recently performed change that mindset?
No, I don't think so. I think, and Matt Quatrero said this yesterday, you know, he was asked exactly this question about how do you kind of manage this and, you know, with recent trends of postseason play. And he said, look, you know, we got here on the backs of terrific starting pitching, and there's no real need to, you know, completely change the way that we've been winning games over the course of the last 6 months. Now, I think that there's certainly more trust in the bullpen given the way they've performed over the last month. I mean, they've got a collective 194 ERA over their last 21 games, and they've only given up one earned run in their last 29 innings. That's over the last week. So this is a group that is rounded into form. It does include now Brady Singer and Michael Lorenzen, who haven't really been a part of that bullpen success over the last week and over the last month, but those are two very accomplished pitchers that have been there and done that before. So I guess, you know, in summary, I don't think you're going to see the traditional quote-unquote quick hook for a starter that we've seen from postseason teams, you know, over the last few years. I think it'll depend on the situation. I think it'll depend on, you know, how the various innings have gone. I think Matt Quatrero and Brian Sweeney and Zach Bove and Mitch Stetter, I think they have a really clear-eyed approach to all of this. And ultimately, they're going to do what they feel is best to get the 27 outs they need, whether that's in game one, game two, or if necessary, game three. I don't think you'll see, you know, two times through the order and out, or five and dive and hand the ball to the bullpen. I think it's going to depend on how the game unfolds, frankly, as it should.
Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster. You'll hear him right here on 96.5 The Fan. Best of luck on the call, man. Excited for you as well. First postseason game, right, for you to ever call in the big leagues. So that's got to be pretty
cool. Yeah, this is pretty surreal. And to get to, you know, be a part of sharing this experience with the Hall of Famer in Denny Matthews and, you know, a should-be Hall of Famer in Ryan Lefevre and Steve Stewart and Eric Guthrie. Like, what a crew to be a part of here. Just feel very grateful to, you know, get to be sitting in this booth at Camden Yards and hopefully have some big moments to share with everybody tuning in.
Enjoy it, man. Appreciate it. That's Jake Eisenberg, Royals broadcaster, joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Remember, first pitch, 3:08 right here on your home for the Royals. Vern's On Deck show at 2 o'clock. We are broadcasting till 2 o'clock today at Jefferson's. But then we'll be hanging out after the game. Watch party. Everybody from the station going to watch some Royals baseball. They've got $1 rally shots, $3 Royals blue refreshers, $12 Miller and Coors buckets as well. And you heard from Jake here in about, 30 minutes, we're expected to hear from Vinny Pasquantino. Yeah. He's going to speak to the media, and we'll have that for you. In the meantime, though, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
Can we just, rag on the city of Baltimore for this?
I wasn't going to rag on the city of Baltimore, even though I had a bad experience there. But I will
say Old Bay stinks or something. I mean, what are we supposed to do here?
I'm going to mention what they're doing for the postseason. They have some new food items, and you tell me if this is trash or not. They also have a new motto there in Baltimore for the postseason. So, for starters, the motto this postseason of the Orioles is "Be the noise." Your thoughts?
Be the noise.
The noise.
I don't know. Sounds like Life of the Toddler. That doesn't sound enjoyable.
Be the noise. They're gonna, of course, have the rally towels. Be the noise. Okay. The food items here. They have a hot dog bacon burger. Picture that for a second. Hot dog bacon burger. So is this the hot dogs on top of the burger, or is this that there's bits of the hot dog inside the beef patty? What do we think? We think it's a burger just with a hot dog and bacon on top?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Pass.
Then fried chicken BLT. No claw, our trash of the day. Yes, no claw.
Fried chicken BLT, that sounds good. I like a regular BLT. Why the hell wouldn't I like it with fried chicken?
And then their crazier item is a drunken crab cake. A 6-ounce crab cake sitting inside a hot bowl of house-made cream of crab soup with cherry.
I think the normal rule applies. Okay, so that sounds delicious. But, here's the thing I'll say is that I refuse to eat the foods of the city of the teams that we're playing that week. I love a crab cake. Am I getting a crab cake this week? Absolutely not. Screw all foods or beers or whatever they make in Baltimore. I'm not eating any of it this week. Those are the rules for the playoffs. You don't eat New York-style pizza if they're taking on the Yankees next week.
I agree.
You only eat Kansas City-based foods or from other cities. You don't, you got to knock those things out. That's how playoffs work.
That's why today I'm eating wings, and also our buddy Nick brought us, I think, some breakfast.
I don't think it's
normally on the menu. This is one of those pre-opening specialty items that we're going to have during the break. Plus, I can't wait. Those corn nuggets, man, I can't wait for those.
You want to share some?
Yeah, we're going to get some corn nuggets, I think.
Okay.
Every team does some. Hopefully we get a chance to see any new postseason food items the Royals do if we get a home game in the ALDS.
But every
team has something different. Yeah, the crab cake, I saw one of the local stations here in town did a story on it, or their affiliate did a story on it. And the crab cake, I don't like crab cake, but everybody that likes crab cakes is like, oh, that sounds amazing. It looks great. But I'm just not a crab cake guy.
That's just you never had them. You're saying you're not a crab cake guy because you've never eaten a crab cake. You've never even given them the time
of
day.
Stuff. I can't remember. We've talked about
it. Well, that's only shrimp, and we don't know about the other shellfish.
Crab is in a shell, last time I checked. last time I checked, the crab has a shell.
But we don't know that you're allergic to all shellfish. We just know that you have a shrimp problem.
I don't feel like testing. Let's just get a table of potential allergic items and see what happens. You know,
it's like a scratch test.
At a doctor's office, not just at a random restaurant or something.
So you're saying you're not willing to try crab today and find out whether or not you're going to go into anaphylactic shock.
I don't think that's a good idea. Something tells me that would be not a great thing.
We could have, somebody on standby with an EpiPen.
That seems like that doesn't seem
like a
standby.
I don't think they'd like us doing that.
That doesn't seem like a good sort of don't worry, we'll just have an EpiPen. You know what I mean? That doesn't seem like a good strategy to go with. Don't worry, you're going to go into shock, but we'll still just stick this giant
somebody's
needle
waiting for
in
that
your
to happen
thigh
to help
or whatever
you out, yeah.
it is.
Okay, so I mean, I think in that
Be the noise is their motto.
I don't like it. But mottos are tough to come up with. I'll admit this. Similar to segments in radio, sometimes they really overthink it sometimes, and then end up with duds.
Yeah.
What happens is they overthink it. They're like, "Be the noise." You're like, "I'm not agreeing to that." It should have I think every playoff race should have October in it. October ready. Always October.
Yeah.
You might as well make a point of the
The league-wide. Each team tries to do their own thing. But, I mean, I think the Royals, didn't Bobby Wood Jr. essentially already establish the motto for this postseason? By saying, we didn't come this far just to come to get this far, whatever. That's basically theirs.
We didn't come this far just to get this far.
Now, that's not as short as the Orioles one. But anyway, that's the trash of the day. It's the Baltimore Orioles changing their motto and some of the food options that they're going to have at the ballpark. Coming up next, though, we are going to get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And during the Chiefs Red Half Hour, we are expected to go out to Baltimore and hear from Vinny Pasquantino. If you're just joining us for the first time today, Vinny Pasquantino on the playoff roster, in the lineup,
can't wait.
DHing, batting third. He is back for this team. But we will talk about someone who was back in at least for one game in terms of production for the Chiefs. That was one Travis Kelce. We'll get into that next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but we'll cut it a little short, obviously, Royals baseball today. So we're going to go out to Baltimore in about 15 minutes or so. Going to hear from Vinny Pasquantino, who is back in the Royals lineup. He's batting third today, DHing for game one of this series against the Baltimore Orioles. But I do want to talk a little bit about Travis Kelce for a second, because we all saw the production come back for one game. The question is that sustainable? Is now everything good? Was that a one-off? Is he capable of carrying the load now without Rashee Rice for
he's gonna
the entire
have to.
Season. He's going to have to, but is he capable of doing that and staying healthy and staying fresh at, given the age he is? We all saw last year, once it was postseason time, he looked like Hall of Fame tight end Travis Kelce again. During the season, he had the bone bruise prior to week one, then wasn't healthy for much of the year, and the production wasn't great.
And then the first 3 weeks this year.
He still almost had 1,000 yards. Yeah. They rested him week 18, and that helped out. I think the production can be there, but is he going to wear out before you get to the postseason? That would be my concern. It's also why I think closer to the trade deadline, ultimately they do need to trade for a wide receiver, as we said yesterday, given the timeline for Hollywood Brown and potential timeline for Rashee Rice. But it was a promising sign that when Rice was out of the game, those underneath routes that Rice was just getting all of, and that's why his production went up and Travis's went down, Travis is still capable of doing that. It just might take a little longer to develop because he's not Rashee Rice.
Well, and I think that that's, I don't know. I still think that Travis Kelce was a larger factor than we were giving credit for Rashee Rice getting open. But also, Travis Kelce's body, we have to hope, holds up. Travis Kelce had been playing about 75% of the snaps, way down from normal. So as much as they were saying they weren't protecting him for the postseason, they were. And then all of a sudden last week, the second Rashee Rice goes down, do you know how much snap percentage he played? 94.
Wow.
He was on the field
for every single snap
of the game.
I need Jared Wiley and Noah Gray to take some of that. Is either one of them capable of helping out a little bit just so you don't wear down Travis Kelce?
Noah showed a little groove, you know, a little juice, but like the second you take Travis Kelce off the field, who are you threatening to throw the ball to? Well, then you can bracket or do whatever the hell you want with Xavier Worthy. Travis Kelce's going to have to be old Travis Kelce. If they want their offense to be top 10, really only, here's the good news. Only two things have to go in what I would say are the extreme positive versus sometimes when you were making up a scenario where like, what if these 10 things went right and everything was great? Just two. Two things for the offense to be top 10. Travis Kelce is 2022 or last postseason Travis Kelce. Not totally out of the question, bit of a long shot, but not totally out of the question. And Xavier Worthy's got to be like a really, like an upper end two, lower end number one wide receiver. If you compare that together and those big shots, like what happened in the last game, the longest air yard touchdown of Patrick Mahomes' career, by the way.
Think about that.
If you can have a little bit of that, well, then there's still some life in this offense left. But yeah, the wide receiver trade, the second I saw that Harold Kuntz report that said that Brett Veach is essentially like slamming his fist on the table after one Sky Moore catch. I'm like, well, they're not going to just sit around.
Yeah, I saw
Rice
that.
Isn't healthy.
Our friend Harold's report. That the reaction to that was a little interesting to me because they're like, well, now for sure, as if what we thought Brett Veach was going to be happy about the drop. Like, I guess it's significant. But you and I have sat in press boxes before. It's not the first time I've ever heard of a general manager or staff
being
member
mad at a bad
pounding
player.
A table. So it's not that unique. But of course, I mean, Sky Moore, we know the story there. We all know what he is, and they know what he is. And him as the fifth or sixth receiver, you're fine with that on a rookie deal. Now with an increased workload, potentially, there will be an adjustment that has to happen. I still think ultimately it's going to be McColl, Juju, and Justin Watson until they make a trade, if they make a trade, that are going to have their workload increase. And yeah, you did draft a tight end in Jared Wiley as a rookie, and everybody was very high on him heading into camp. Is he able to alleviate some of that for Travis? The part that I would have a question with Worthy is, I don't think we should expect the same progression for him as we saw from Rice last year. Remind people, Rashee Rice, one, is just a better route runner even last year in his rookie season than I think Worthy's capable of being. But also, much like this year, that was out of necessity too.
Yeah.
This is also out of necessity, but I guess I don't think we should think that Xavier Worthy's going to end up having 900 yards now because Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice are out. Like, where are you at on Worthy's production the rest of the way? Like,
well, I
think
I have to assume it's
going
up.
The deep plays are still his biggest benefit. I don't know. I don't think they're just going to give him every single crossing route underneath now.
No, but I think he ends up being an 800 total yard player now.
Okay.
I mean, am I not supposed to assume that? I was never down on Xavier Worthy's production because I thought he wasn't a capable NFL player. When we were talking Xavier Worthy's final season stat line, I thought Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice were still on this team. And as it sits right now, neither of those guys might not be – both of those guys might not be available for the entire year. Now, I guess there's still some bigger question marks now for what we'll get out of Rashee Rice because there's now the questions about whether or not – I don't – you know, what kind of player he is. after the injury, mm-hmm. or if this injury is not as serious, you know, what all the weirdo injury stuff that's going on. I'm still assuming he's not going
to
be available.
I think.
But if those guys aren't available, well, then, you know, Xavier Worthy's their number one wide receiver. Travis Kelce's their number one weapon. But their number one wide receiver has to be Xavier Worthy. You cannot live your life throwing it to Justin Watson, throwing it to Sky Moore, in previous years throwing it to Kadarius Toney.
Might only have to be for a month if they're able to go trade for Amari Cooper or whoever. You know, you mentioned Slayton, Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I think that person immediately becomes the number one wide receiver, and you take a little heat off of Xavier Worthy.
Text line 913-586-7965. I've seen a lot of people mention the name Tyreek Hill.
Too expensive.
I know the Dolphins lost last night.
Didn't I bring him up like 2 weeks ago for a reunion after the Kareem Hunt thing?
Well, because Kareem Hunt. And I have the same opinion now. Not happening. Financial was the first reason I gave you, and that still applies. The Dolphins are a mess. They have Tyler Huntley starting. Tua now expected to be back week 8 or 9. They don't look like a very good team. Tyreek Hill has been quiet so far this year for the Dolphins. I don't believe it with the salary that exists, the way he left. And I know you'll say, well, the way Kareem Hunt left. Fair. That's a fair point. But the Chiefs did trade away Tyreek Hill more recently. And I don't know if they want to just deal with any of the continued off-the-field baggage. Like, at least Kareem Hunt was clean after the issue that he had.
Yeah, Tyreek continues to stay a pretty noisy player, but the expense is the biggest problem.
Yeah,
they got $5 million in cap space. They can't afford Tyreek Hill. They would afford it, Tyreek Hill. They paid him the last
time. I think if we're doing, like, most realistic trade options without knowing who's truly available. Remember last year at the deadline, we ultimately everybody thought all these guys were available, and they weren't. Right now, I would say Deontay Johnson –
Slayton.
This isn't my wish list. This is just like who I think is truly realistic. My top of my wish list is DeAndre Hopkins and Amari Cooper.
Yep.
But in terms of realistic, I think Deontay Johnson, Slayton, then Cooper, then Hopkins, and then you just keep going down. Like maybe even Adam Thielen. Hell, like right. I think he's another. His final
he's been
year.
Hurt,
Adam Thielen will be healthy in a couple weeks. But Deontay Johnson's deal is up after this year. Thielen's deal is up after this year in Carolina. So I think those are two guys to watch at some point in time. In the meantime, it's going to be what they have. And yeah, maybe they elevate a Mejio or a Justin Ross from a practice squad. That's the realistic options they have. Right now, expect it's going to be a lot like last year. Lean on the defense, and the defense to me has already shown.
Try to score enough to get by.
Yep, and they get the Saints on Monday night, as we know, at Arrowhead.
You might be surprised to find this out. Xavier Worthy right now, through four games, is already on pace for 820 total yards between rushing and receiving.
There you go.
So, like, I don't know, maybe I should be jacking that number up a little bit. But yesterday, or what he was in that first game, his long touchdown catch to me is unrelated to the Rashee Rice injury. They were always going to try a couple of plays like that. The question for Xavier Worthy is what you asked, which is not can you run downfield and catch a ball sometimes, not can you have 40 yards through four games on five attempts on the ground. The question is, can you run anything else? Like, because so far, the passes that have been thrown Xavier Worthy's way are last or 2 weeks ago when it was an almost interception in the end zone, but deep. Yesterday when he caught the deep touchdown. The one where he was wide open for the touchdown in week one, which was also a 20-yard pass, right? He's down the field a little bit. I haven't seen him on, like, and then the mesh play, right, that he eventually ran to seal the game. The play that was supposed to work the week before that Andy said Travis ran into his area, and so Xavier Worthy stopped. So, okay, we know he's got mesh. We know he's got run deep down the field, and we know he can take a handoff. There are 48 other routes I got to know whether or not Xavier Worthy is on board for yet, or if those are all going to Justin Watson or a million other players. Obviously, I think he's going to be an impact for this offense. They don't have a choice. But for him to be an impact on this offense, the question is, will those every down snaps, will they still on third down throw to guys like Sky Moore?
And does Juju Smith-Schuster have enough in the tank to be at least a third down reliable option? We know he's not going to be a focal point of this offense, nor should he. We know we're 2 years removed from the really good season that he had in KC. But even during that really good season, he was a third down weapon. He was reliable, possession type of receiver, Cody, that could come up with a big catch on a 3rd and 7 when Travis Kelce wasn't open.
Yep.
But he could just catch the ball, get you the exact yards you needed. He has to be that somehow for this team. They're going to have to piece this thing together with a lot of different guys, a little bit of production. Justin Watson, occasionally, once a game, basically. Once a game, Justin Watson, I need you one catch a game that moves the change. I mean, honestly, that's where one catch a game, Justin Watson, to move the chain.
Rely on McColl more and some of these other
Juju,
dudes.
I need one or two catches to move the chains the game now.
Nobody needs five catches.
No.
We need two from all of you.
Absolutely. Hell, Worthy doesn't need to have nine catches for 100 yards. That's not – it's the move the chains – And then Kareem Hunt, can he bring something while Pacheco's not back for seven more weeks? Clyde comes back. Like, it's going to be truly a team effort offensively, and it's going to be at times as frustrating as last year to watch. I think that's the real thing. And fortunately, their defense has not slid back the way you maybe thought they would. They're playing at that same type of level. Steve Spagnuolo is as good as it gets. We keep giving him praise. He deserves it every single time. He's incredible as a defensive coordinator for this team. And the questions about Trent McDuffie without Snead, yeah, he's still doing his thing. Doesn't really matter.
No, same thing. It's like, who's going to be good in corner? You know how much time we spend talking about second corner, and I don't even notice it. I never notice it.
Wide receivers have
not done anything. I don't feel like I'm ever talking about Jalen Watson. I'm never talking about Joshua Williams. I'm not talking about Nazee Johnson. I see their names every once in a while when they're tackling somebody. But for the most part, is some quarterback gone and tore them apart? Nope. Because one side of the field is locked down, and when one side of the field is locked down, well, then you get to do creative things in your coverage. Matter of fact, at this point, every time a catch gets made against Trent McDuffie, because there was a nice third down pass from Justin Herbert on Trent McDuffie in that last game, to Joshua Palmer, I think it was, or no, it was Quentin Johnson. I'm always like, oh, what? Did you complete the pass against Trent McDuffie? Like, I'm always stunned to see his name even show up in a box score. Hell, they should have had a pick six in the last game. Had Jalen Watson. The only time I know Jalen Watson in the last game is he should have had a pick six. He let the ball hit him in the breadbasket and then let it go.
913-586-7965. Someone says, you want to risk a three-peat on guys that you have in place. Go out and get someone to make history. Well, I'm with you. I think they will, but it's not happening this week. I mean, the trade deadline, remember, got pushed back, guys, so we have an extra week to talk about it, frankly, until trades happen. I'm not saying you have to wait until the exact deadline, but week four just wrapped up last night. We're now into week five. A lot of teams, think about coaching staffs, front offices, a lot of them are not just bailing on their receiver in week five. They're just not. Even though we all think Carolina's going nowhere and the Browns, let's say, and the Titans, even though they won last night with Mason Rudolph, like, we all think they aren't going anywhere. But these teams, it doesn't mean they're just getting up and trading DeAndre Hopkins tomorrow. They might in 3 weeks. Amari Cooper.
I mean, there are like three teams.
4 weeks, 5 weeks.
I'm pretty sure that the only team that is winless this season is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Every single team,
correct,
I think, in the NFL has a win except the Jags.
Oof.
And unfortunately for you, their two tradable commodities at wide receiver are too expensive. Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis. Christian Kirk still has two expensive years left on his deal. Gabe Davis just got his damn contract.
Yeah.
And so whether you thought those guys were logical fits for you, and I'm not in love with either of those players anyway, but even if you were the Chiefs, thought that those were logical fits for you, are they? Because they're too expensive. That's the only team without a win. Just them. And there might have been teams that before the season you're like, maybe Terry McLaurin will come on the market. Not right now. The Commanders are in first place in the NFC East. You just don't know for at least another 3 weeks. And what I still like, weirdly enough, I like it. Because that means over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to find out if Xavier Worthy can do all the things we just talked about. If Travis Kelce can be 2022 Travis Kelce. I'll have my answers by the time it's time to trade for a player. And those teams are trading.
And I think there's an ideal scenario if you're talking about learning the offense, if you're just a younger player versus a vet. Yeah, I think a lot of people will point to, well, why wouldn't you make the trade when you have a week off, whenever the bye week is? That's fair, but I don't know if those guys are available by week five, right? That's the Chiefs bye week, or week six, whatever the hell the Chiefs bye week. Week seven, I don't know, I keep getting confused. That would be a great time to do it, sure, but it is the option available at that time. If it is, yeah, that's a great time. You get an extra week to get up to speed. You know, an Adam Thielen, a DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper type, these are vets in the league. They can pick up the offense quicker than a younger player, I would just assume. And so that's going to be something where I'm sure going to be talking about for the next month, every week, potential options. Keeping an eye on teams that are struggling, who could be available. We are also keeping an eye on Baltimore. No, not the Ravens, but the Orioles and the city of Baltimore. That's where Vinny Pasquantino is. He's expected to address the media in about 3 minutes or so, give or take. That stuff usually isn't always on time, so we'll keep an eye on it. We want to hear from Vinny right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Reminder, Royals baseball, 3:08 first pitch here on The Fan. Vern is on deck show at 2 o'clock. Playoff baseball is back here for the Royals on 96.5 The Fan. One other thing before we get to Vinny. You mentioned a team that's winless, the Jags. Yeah. After Monday Night Football, the Chiefs are the final AFC undefeated team, and it's just the Chiefs and the Vikings as the final undefeated teams in the NFL heading into Week 5. The Seahawks lost last night to Detroit. We both suspected that would be the case yesterday on the show, and it was. Detroit looked really good. How about Amon-Ra St. Brown throwing that pass to Jared Goff, who didn't have a single incompletion? He was 18 of 18 for like 296.
Yeah,
he did not throw a single incompletion. Which is why I'm convinced he took the safety, because he's like, I'm not throwing this ball away.
He took the safety.
He tried to get out of the end zone, but I don't think he threw the ball away. He's like, I'm not having my first incomplete pass be a throwaway in the fourth quarter. I got a chance to have a perfect game. Him and Kurt Warner are like one of the two guys. Kurt Warner was 10 for 10, I think. But Goff was 18 for 18 last night.
It's pretty funny to have Campbell mention that he didn't give him the game ball and all that stuff. Yeah, super, super, super funny, because you're just like, nah, I kind of feel bad. I didn't give him the game ball. You're like, he didn't throw any completion.
Just because you're the final two undefeated teams, by no means means you're both meeting in the Super Bowl. But
yeah.
Chiefs Vikings. I mean, for years people have been talking about Chiefs Packers, but Chiefs Vikings. That's an intriguing storyline historically for the Chiefs franchise and the Vikings franchise. Let alone right now what the Vikings are doing with Sam Darnold. But yeah, for Kansas City to have all the issues we brought up, and yet
there are only two undefeated teams, and they're one of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, really. Yeah.
They've lost, again, they have fully become that Patriots dynasty. And this is what great teams typically do, is you're like, how the hell are we still losing to you? This is annoying, especially, and more than anywhere, in the division. Like, go back again and look at what the Chargers did and try to explain to me how it is that they lost their gold, how they let that thing slip away. They were up 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. The Chiefs were deflated, had lost their starting wide receiver, you know, after all the injuries that they had already suffered from. And then you still let them beat you? Like, that's embarrassing. And they just do a better job at, like, winning those games they shouldn't win, and that's what we want. Look, I know we're getting ready to do some playoff baseball stuff today,
mm-hmm.
So obviously I'm excited. That's what I want out of this year's Royals team, similar to what we say to the Chiefs, is because that's what happened the last time the Royals were in the postseason. The last time the Royals were in the postseason, they won some games they had no business winning, which you sometimes have to do in the playoffs. Hell, look at the doubleheader yesterday. The Mets shouldn't have won that first game.
That was just a wild
to
game.
Get themselves into the postseason. They had to come back from three down after the eighth inning. They were 0 for 49 this year when down three runs in the eighth inning. They had lost every single time that had gone down, and yet still somehow here they come to win the day. And I understand the Braves won the game later, and they both got to make the postseason and share some champagne on the field.
It is weird.
But for the Royals today, I want to see that.
How many celebrations they had in that ballpark in a 3 or 4 day span. I was texting with somebody yesterday. They're like, has a ballpark ever had three separate champagne celebrations in 3 days or 4 days?
Yeah,
Royals on Friday night,
the Mets
on Monday afternoon, and the Braves on Monday evening. Like, I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
There's no way that's happened before. There's no way. That exact scenario, because of rare doubleheaders, so two teams clinch.
Yeah.
And then the Royals as a road team clinching, not because they beat the Braves, but
especially in the number of days it would take to do it, you'd almost have to have two teams fighting for a playoff spot in the same building and that team. Unlikely, I would say, that would be the case. But that's it. We are expected to hear from Vinny Pasquantino coming up in just a few minutes. But let's talk about his return. Because this morning, obviously, it was already heading this way. Everybody seemed to know.
Yeah.
The second Vinny talked in the post-game locker room and started talking the way he was, like, I'm not saying anything. The doctors say I'm healing okay. And he was excited. We knew he was going to play. But when they send out that Pasquatch gripping a bat, wearing the necklace photo, you're like, oh, my God, Vinny's actually back. And beyond the just medical improbability of it, this has to be a massive emotional boost for this team going in there.
And let's hear from Vinny Pasquantino right now on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah. Vinny, what does it mean to be back? And were you kind of always targeting this series once you guys got there to return?
First part of your question, it feels awesome. We put in a lot of work for this. You know, it's a kind of a special personal day just because, you know, we finally got the green light. I had my eyes set on a little bit earlier than this, but despite all arguing, that was not realistic. So we did everything we could, and we're here now, and the rehab's not over, but the games can start, so we're excited about it.
We'll stay right here. Vinny, when did you first kind of start to get back to hitting and really attack this? And when did golf in your mind that, you know what, this is where I want to be in right now?
So as far as like actual hitting, I had been doing one-handed swings probably, I don't know, as soon as I got my cast off, just to keep my body rotating, because it was always, I said it in that when we spoke in Kansas City, I did not believe my season was over, so we treated it as such. I kept, you know, I got in the cage, I'd run, still playing catch, not physically catching the ball, but throwing the ball. So kind of like a quarterback where they couldn't throw it back to me, but I could throw it. Doing one-handed stuff with my top hand, which was kind of a new thing for me because I don't normally do a whole lot of one-handed stuff anyway, so it was kind of a new challenge to go and do, which was sort of fun, other than not being able to play. And then I think we got into two-hand swinging. What day is it? Tuesday? Probably about, I don't know, 8-10 days ago. And then every day it was just dependent on how I was feeling. And every day that I felt good, we were able to progress it a little bit more with the doctor and the surgeon's clearance to keep pushing. And then we got on the field in D.C. last week, which I believe you guys were there for. Hit off the machine on the field and then did some lives this weekend. And, you know, we were hoping to do some yesterday. That wasn't able to happen. Which, speaking of, is it ever sunny here? I mean, I grew up pretty close to here, but this year I don't think I've seen the sun in Baltimore. But, yeah, so just really happy about it.
We'll go to Jake in the third row.
Vinny, welcome back.
Thank you.
Over these next couple of days, and I guess when you take swings now, are there differences in your swing because of how the thumb is healing or continuing to rehab? Is there something different with your bat? I thought I saw some tape differences on there the other day.
Yeah, there are some different things that we're doing. That'll probably be some stuff I'll talk about after the season. Not that there's no competitive advantage for what it is, but it's just something I don't really want to talk about. We are using like a different bat that I've used. I'm using a light bat for the first time in my career. I've always swung a black bat or a dark barrel bat, so I'm going to have to get used to that, which is way weirder than it seems like it should be. But seeing a lighter bat go through the zone, I hope check swings they're not more aggressive with, because you can see the whole bat a little bit more. So, yeah, there are some differences, but, you know, the swing is the swing, right? Like, the swing is the science piece of it. Like, I can see data on the swing, but the part that I'm really looking forward to is the art aspect of it, the hitting. The hitting is the art to me, and the swinging is the science. We've passed the science test. Now I got to see if I can pass the, you know, the art test, so to speak.
You mean in terms of color, not weight?
Yeah, there's some differences color-wise. The weight's the same.
Okay. Got several in the first row.
Vinny, what was it like just throughout the process, trying to strike a balance between like accelerating the recovery but not overdoing it at the same time?
Yeah, I think there was just a lot of risk-reward talk of what happens if it goes bad, because that's just as important as what happens if it goes perfect. So we weighed kind of, okay, here are the pros, here are the cons, here's what it could look like. I think the most important step was that the bone was healing. So we were getting scans. The biggest thing I had done, and I guess I'm allowed to talk about my own medical stuff, right? Like, thank you. I got a scan last week, and it showed what we wanted it to show. And yeah, we're here now, and we got a scan done Friday as well. It showed what we wanted it to show, same thing. We know the risk, though, because there are risks to it. But in my mind, there's some rewards, too. So we're just really excited about it, and I couldn't be more thankful for our medical team all the way around. Jeff Blum, who's our physical therapist, I mean, he pushed me hard. I pushed him just as hard right back. Yeah.
We'll stay right here.
Vinny, the team hit some rough spots after your injury, and like you said, you wanted to be back earlier, and any fan you talk to say, when is Vinny coming back? I mean, how did you balance the pressure? What was that like watching and wanting to be back on the field with making sure that you were good in the immediate and the long term?
Yeah, I think that it was tough. You know, got out of the lineup, and was it a direct correlation to us having like a little bit of a skid? Absolutely not. A skid is a skid. You run through those during the season. And we've got so many really good ball players in the clubhouse that things just happen, and it was just a weird time for that to happen. I was just so much looking forward to seeing the guys get into the playoffs. There was always that want of me to get back, but more importantly, I wanted to see Kansas City Royals get into the playoffs. So me coming back is just kind of a bonus for me personally, because it was more important to see this thing through and see this team. You know, the last thing that we wanted is have such a great start and then finish without making it. So to get here now, and the cherry on top is that I get to play. So it's super cool, and it's just really exciting to be here.
Have any more on the excitement of being here? Can you take us through your emotional journey from when your thumb got injured until today, knowing that you're going to be in the lineup?
Yeah, it wasn't. My goal going into the year was be available for 162. I pretty much told anybody who asked me what my goal was. It was play 162 games or be available for 162. And once again, that did not happen. So it was tough because I knew it was broke right when it happened. I took myself off the field, walked up to the training room, and you know, we got it scanned in Houston, and that was kind of it. So it was a rough few days, the first few days. But you know, my wife, she's been through it all with me, from school to, you know, lower level of professional baseball to the highest level of professional baseball. So she's seen it all. She was awesome. Got the surgery. Once I had the surgery, I was in so much pain that I was like, this is definitely not going to happen. And then as the days went, it's like, okay, I'm getting better. When they took it off and I saw the scar, I was like, absolutely not. This is definitely not going to happen. It looked like there was a worm on my hand. It was disgusting. But then when we got the stitches out, I was like, oh my God, it looks like a hand again. Maybe we do have a shot. And then as we've been progressing, things have been going well, and well enough that the team, you know, we decided that it was time. So the emotions are pretty good today.
Five rows back into your left.
Hey, Vinny, when did you exactly get the news that you were going to be in the lineup for today's game? And also, who was the first player teammate to approach you when you got the news that you're coming back? Or have you even seen your teammates since the news broke?
So I guess I didn't know for sure until this morning. That was up to me at that point. It was, does your hand feel good? I was supposed to talk to him at 9 this morning. I think I sent the text at 6:55. but he was awake. It's okay. So I knew if I woke up this morning feeling good that we would be a go. I found out I'd be in the lineup yesterday, and I kind of had I thought I had a really good shot to be on the roster probably after a hit in D.C. on the field. That's when I was kind of like, okay, this is real. And then after the live BP, I think my first two at-bats, I don't think I touched the ball. And I was like, oh, maybe not. And then I hit one on the barrel. So I was like, okay, all right, I still got something. So, so I guess last week is when I had the first idea that it would happen.
And any teammates, before you talk to teammates, are you excited at the clubhouse or –
Yeah, it seems to be, but it's a tough time to come talk to me here. Everybody's a little bit busy, so we've all got our jobs to do, and mine is just, mine's just to go have good at-bats, and guys are excited about that. I'm excited about that, but as far as, like, anybody coming up to me, you know, hey, congrats, whatever, that hasn't really happened because guys are so, you know, locked in on what we're doing, so.
A question for Vinny.
Okay.
Benny, just overall, getting to this point as a team, what does it mean after the season you guys had last year, the good start that you mentioned earlier that you guys had, just to finally get to October for the first time since 2015?
It's really special. I wore this just for fun because it's fun. I used to watch this on TV all the time, see all the sweatshirts. I got one now, so that's pretty cool. It means everything. This is why we play the game. 162 is great. All the stats you put up are great. All the wins and losses, whatever. This is where the real season starts. And we have a shot. We're one of 12 teams that have a shot. And not every team could say that. We're one of them. So it's really exciting. I think the easy thing to say would be, nobody expected us to be here. I don't care what anybody thought. We expected ourselves to be here, and we're here. So we have a really good opportunity in front of us, and we're really excited to, you know, see what happens.
Got a Jake in the middle.
Hey, Vinny. Did you come to a lot of games here as a kid? I know you grew up about an hour and a half away, but was Camden Yards something that you did a lot?
Camden Yards is probably the most places I watched a big league game at. Most of the time we were just going to Richmond Braves games or Flying Squirrels games in Richmond. I've probably been here about 10, 15 times. It was so it's probably the most, you know, kind of special stadium for me just because I've been here the most as a fan. So the left field wall still blows my mind, even though I've played here a few times, just because I've always seen it. Like, I've sat where there is no longer seating. So that's still funny to see. Like, I was sitting right there. Now it's the field. But, yeah, it's super cool. I think after we found out we were coming to Baltimore, my phone blew up from people from back home. And no, I don't have any extra tickets. So, it's pretty special for me.
Other questions for Vinny? All right. Well, it's great to have you as part of this, Vinny. Congrats for being here and good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck, man. Enjoy it.
Earlier today as well, started to get a feel that maybe this was a possibility. He found out yesterday that he was going to be in the lineup and then had one more check or text he sent this morning basically being like, yeah, it still feels good. And that was pretty cool to hear Vinny talking about being back also at a ballpark, man, that he's very familiar with, an hour and a half or so away from where he grew up and everything. So how awesome is that? And, of course, you are listening to 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ FM and AM, HD1 and HD2, Kansas City.
Look, I feel great about where they are, at least the possibility. I will say the most interesting part was that he said there's a risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, like, you know, for a broken wrist, it's like you got plenty of time You got plenty of time to get that taken care of in the offseason if that's the case, and it's a risk he's willing to take. And it's close enough to the timeline that the risk still, as you and I know, has to be somewhat minimal in that case. But I like the analogy he put into it, which is like, I passed the science test, which is, can you physically do this thing? And now I got to pass the art test, which is, I still got to find a way to hit. Taking this amount of time off of seeing a live pitcher, and we know Vinny's been kind of a slow starter in the regular season sometimes, so like maybe it takes him a little bit to get up to speed. We'll see.
Still their best option, not even close.
Absolutely.
Not even close. It's no-brainer.
I'm so happy for Vinny to be back in the lineup.
It's a no-brainer with him physically being able to be in the lineup, and the recovery time and everything is really incredible. And, you know, I think when you look at the lineup now, as we've said over and over, and Massey leading off, and some of that is because Corbin Burns is pitching and all that. But everything changes just because he's in the lineup. Look, I don't know, Cody. He's either going to hit a home run today or he's going 0-for-4. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like
home run probably of those two.
I think it's the home run, you know, a plus 500, by the way, for Vinny to hit.
I looked
home
at
run
it. You
today.
Can line shop a little bit.
Find it elsewhere.
I found an 800.
8-to-1.
Plus 8.
Over at a different book.
I actually parlayed. I'm not kidding. I put a bet in for Vinny and Massey, parlayed together to both hit a home run. I got it at plus 5,000.
You might as well put in a bet for them to win if that's what you're. If you think.
If I think they're both.
If you think Massey and Vinny are both hitting home runs.
I'm probably going to get him in the first inning and not even have to worry about it. You know?
Well, it would be, I mean, look, let's just lay out the scenario. It's pretty obvious. With Cole Reagans on the bump in the top of the first inning, if Massey's able to get a leadoff walk or a single and you get Bobby to get, you know, I mean, like all of a sudden, and it's, can you imagine nobody out, Bobby on first, Massey on second.
Vinny up to the dish.
I mean, come on. But that's the kind of stuff that happens.
Playoff baseball.
That's the kind of stuff that happens in October. That's what's really cool. And how many times have we heard from Royals players, even just saying how cool it is to wear the October playoff baseball
Bobby
hoodies
mentioned
and all that.
It. Vinny mentioned it.
It's become a staple. They all get the new gear and everything, but it's like, you know, that's something you get if, in this case, you're one of 12 teams. Yeah. To make it to the postseason. And that is flat out awesome. By the way, we're here at Jefferson's in Lenexa, broadcasting till 2, but we'll be here throughout the entire Royals game. It's our watch party location. We'll have everybody from the station hanging out. They've got some great specials here. Of course, the best wings around, $1 rally shots, $3 Royal Blue refreshers, $12 Miller and Coors Light buckets. Seen a lot of people stop in for some lunch today, maybe in the middle of their work hour, some listeners. We have still a few shirts left, so if you come on by during your lunch break, or you come on by, of course, during the Royals game, there while supplies last. We've got a handful of these left. For those of you that have been watching our video stream, you guys have asked about our 96.5 The Fan t-shirts. Well, we've got a couple of them with us today, and we'll have a couple of them with us tomorrow because we'll be back here at Jefferson's. Hopefully, talk about the Royals having a chance to wrap up the series tomorrow. That would
ideally,
be
ideally, yes.
That would be amazing if we're able to say that. And, of course, first pitch today right here on 96.5 The Fan, 3:08. Vern's on deck show, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I think that if we're looking at where we are right now, both of the Royals' playoff run right here on 96.5 The Fan, I feel fantastic about what we're doing. But also, I don't take any Royal. I'll be honest, it is easy to take Chiefs wins for granted. It is super easy.
Yeah,
just
we're
like,
spoiled.
Oh, another Chiefs postseason where you and I kind of like joke about some opponent in the wild card round. Like that team doesn't even matter. Like they're a speck of dust in my existence. I don't even care. I was born in 1984. So the Royals won the World Series the year after. I don't remember it, it turns out, as I was one. So in every single second of my living life, I spent 30 years waiting for them to get to a single postseason. In those runs, they went to back-to-back World Series and actually won one, which was a tremendous moment for them and for the city. And I waited another 9 years for the Royals to get back to the postseason again. I will not take any playoff game for granted. Every single one that they play in, I will treat like it is the end of the world. Every pitch I will live and die by because I don't know how often they go to the playoffs in my life.
Sure.
Because they haven't been going regularly, and until they start doing that, I have to treat these like special moments.
We waited 9 years, man. Everybody in Kansas
time.
City, everybody listening, we've all waited 9 years to have the opportunity to see the Kansas City Royals in the postseason again. That's why today's special. I was getting a text from a friend of mine. I'm sure you've got a few today. I see on the text line. We're about to get within an hour where everybody, I think you're going to start to get the nerves.
3 hours the first pitch.
Yeah, but we're about to get like the early, it's excitement. We're about an hour away from, I think, where it turns into like nervousness as well. A buddy of mine texted me as well. He's like, I haven't felt this. I feel like I'm going to puke. I haven't felt this nervous about a baseball game since 2015. I think there's a lot of people that are already having that feeling settle in as well. Let's talk with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He's going to join us coming up next. Of course, his on-deck show is at 2 o'clock. I want to ask Vern about the Orioles and, of course, talk more about what this lineup now looks like.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Like that Vinny Pasquantino is back in it.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.